Tonight's recap of The Amazing Race 28 is sponsored by our friends over at Lyft, because if you're competing on The Amazing Race, you're the kind of person that you need to get around quickly, you need to not be wasting your money, and you need to be knowing exactly where you're going. And those are exactly the kind of people that can be driving for Lyft, because becoming a driver with Lyft is a great way to earn extra money and having an occupation which is going to allow you to be flexible with whatever you're doing, and you can work on your terms. Because when you're a driver for Lyft, you could be making up to $1,500 a week. Some people are making $800 just working Friday through the weekend. It's perfect for somebody who is saving up, just trying to make some extra cash, trying to get to know a new city, meeting new people, and you can keep that flexibility in your schedule with whatever else you're doing on the side, and you can just drive whenever you feel like it. You could be making up to $35 an hour and you get to keep your tip. So you can support the podcast and you get credit. So find out more information about how to become a driver at Lyft at Lyft.com/lifestyle. That's Lyft.com/lifestyle. Make sure you sign up at Lyft.com/lifestyle so they know that we sent you there. That's Lyft.com/lifestyle. Enjoy the show. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a guy who hopes to bring you a more pleasant experience tonight than castrating bulls. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the premiere coverage of The Amazing Race 28. As we are going to be talking about everything that happened on the first night of The Amazing Race social media edition. And here with me is my co-host for all things Amazing Race, our chief RHAP, Amazing Race correspondent, the great Jessica Leese. Jessica, how are you?
I am devastated, Rob.
Yes.
I feel like humiliated and like, it's just like, it's agony and pain for me, Rob.
Yes.
Because your fantasy team is destroying my fantasy team.
What a showing. What a showing tonight by Team Rob in the Amazing Race 28 Fantasy League. Boy, Jess, your team barely even showed up as the top four people from my fantasy team placed 1, 2, 3, 4 all in a row. Even my lowly last pick placed 7th. So Jess, I thought you were an expert. I might have to, you know, take some resumes for this position for my chief.
Are you gonna demote me?
Yes. Yes. Well, how did Mike Bloom do with his fantasy picks?
I'm not sure. I think Mike Bloom got to have like Blair and Scott. So Mike Bloom's not doing too well.
Yeah. How were Dan Heaton's fantasy picks? All right.
Dan Heaton wouldn't pick anybody because there's nobody here from the first 7 seasons.
All right. So we're going to talk about everything. So I'm very excited to be back with you guys live here, as we will be after every episode of Amazing Race 28. Very exciting. I thought this was a fun episode tonight. Looking forward to talking about it. Although non-elimination leg. And though you and I were right on the money, Jess, because the team that we both picked last, the team that we did not pick, ended up being the team that came in last on this first leg of the race. So we're pretty locked in overall, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, collectively, we are experts.
Yeah, that's right. So we're going to talk about all that and much more. We're going to take your questions as well. Hashtag RHAP. Hey, we're on social media too. Don't forget about us.
Just barely.
Yeah. So we are ready to go here, and we're going to talk through everything. And of course, we'll be taking your questions. Hashtag RHAP. Also, Jessa, tonight is a big night in RHAP history, that it was 6 years ago tonight that I posted the first episode of Rob Has a Podcast back on February 12th, 2010. So now this is the first day of year 7 of RHAP.
That's crazy. Did you ever think you'd still be doing this 6 years later?
No. This is RHAP episode 1489. So here we go. So we're getting, boy, if I was in some sort of like podcaster fantasy league, they're just racking up the fantasy points all along the way. So let's get into talking about all of this. Of course, if you're joining us for the first time, you can always catch Rob as a Podcast by subscribing to our iTunes feed and get the audio edition. We'll be live here on the YouTube channel at robisthewebsite.com/YouTube with our video shows. After each episode, we also are hoping to be bringing you Amazing Race exit interviews along the way. And then, of course, we'll bring you all of our Survivor coverage as well. You can find it all at robisawebsite.com. Okay, Jess, so what's the headline for you tonight? Because I think that maybe for me, it might be that this was a season that I think a lot of people came into and were skeptical about what it was going to be like. And maybe the level of competition or the show might be sort of like making it easy for these teams. But I thought that this was a pretty impressive leg of the Amazing Race in terms of the tasks that people were asked to do. I didn't think that Amazing Race phoned it in any way with this first leg.
Yeah, like apart from the relentless social media, you know, pumping, you really got the sense this was like any other first episode of The Amazing Race, and maybe even on the more difficult side.
Yeah, I thought this was a pretty impressive leg. Of course, we had everything that was going on with the mariachi band. Again, I think that these things always look really great in the HD, especially at nighttime. All those night scenes with the fireworks and with the mariachi bands. And then the stuff in the cave, I thought also just visually was a very impressive leg of the Amazing Race.
Yeah. It was really beautiful. And one thing that really struck me is we almost never see a first leg of the race where there's both a roadblock and a detour. Like they managed to cram that all in there.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't even get two tasks.
Now, Jess, so we had, and I guess we should have probably seen this coming, we have a non-elimination leg in the first leg of the Amazing Race. Now, there is some precedent for this before because it hasn't happened a lot. How many times has the Amazing Race done non-elimination on leg one?
Not very often. The last time I can remember that they did it was season 15. And, you know, we've been kind of patting ourselves on the back for our great non-pick of Blair and Scott, but the team that went out, that was supposed to have gone out first in the first leg of season 15 was the Poker Girls, who made it at least halfway. So, you know, yeah. It doesn't mean anything that this is the team that's, you know, the first non-elimination. So.
Yeah. So they end up staying in the race, and I actually don't mind it here. I kind of feel like sometimes with these teams that, like, first off, the non-elimination leg always gets on my nerves, but I kind of feel like here, all right, so we didn't get to eliminate somebody in the first leg of the season. I almost feel like at least I get to know somebody more, and then we'll eliminate somebody. So it's one less non-elimination leg that we have to worry about down the road, and I feel like, okay, at least we can get to know this team better.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's okay. Well, I'm informed in the chat room, people are very strident about this, that season 19...
Yeah, the Jenna and Ethan season, I feel like. Because I feel like I watched that one when it was on, right?
Then they did a double elimination in the next leg. What do you think the odds are that we're going to get that?
I don't think that we're going to double eliminate any of these social media teams. I do think that Amazing Race is excited to have these people. I mean, they have really done a great job of promoting this season, and they really are trying to go to great lengths to, you know, retweet and announce a lot of press about this season of the Amazing Race. I don't think they're in any hurry to eliminate people faster. And I think that this could certainly be a season where we end up with four teams racing in the final leg, where we sort of like just put off those eliminations for as long as possible. I wouldn't be surprised if we get another non-elimination leg pretty early on as well, Jess.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, and, you know, this social media angle appears to have paid off for them because Amazing Race was a worldwide trending topic.
Wow. How about that?
I don't remember the last time that happened.
If ever. So very exciting to have all of these social media people here on this season of The Amazing Race. Let's just talk a little bit more about the race and this leg itself. They did something very unusual here, and I thought it was very Big Brother-y, and I'm interested to know from you whether you thought this was a interesting novel concept or it was something that made you sort of recoil in some way. The teams did not start. There was no official start line on this Amazing Race, where typically we get all of our teams together and Phil is like, all right, well, you know, the world is waiting for you, and sends them off on their way. Here, everybody started from wherever they were coming from and ended up just like racing to the first clue. What did you think of that, Jess?
I thought it was very Big Brother-y. And, you know, the first episode of any Big Brother is about the only Big Brother I end up watching because I usually give up on it. And I don't think it worked. I also thought it was pretty transparent. It's obvious that everybody was on the same final connecting flight. I think probably from Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So it really didn't add a whole lot. Like, they were putting everybody on the same flight anyway. They just took a day beforehand and shot some extra footage in their hometown, because, you know, that was not, you know, they didn't just knock on their door and like, hey, get your race stuff together. You're going to race now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed pretty telegraphed.
I mean, we make fun of this every season that they do it at Big Brother, that somebody's like at their job and it's like, hey, what's this? Oh, a pizza's here. Like, oh, it's a key. Oh my God. I have to go to Big Brother right now. I have like 10 minutes to leave right now. Oh my God. And so that's something we always like tease and joke about on Big Brother. And so they decide to do it here. But I guess that we see a little bit more of a slice of life of all of these race contestants. So you don't think it had any impact on the race itself, right?
I don't think it did. Like, clearly everyone was getting to Mexico City at the same time regardless.
All right. Well, our first detour of the season was where we had the mariachi band versus Great Balls of Fire, Mariachi Madness versus Great Balls of Fire. It seemed to me as though the Mariachi Madness was the far easier task for the teams to complete. Was that evident to you how that was going to go down from the moment they said what these two tasks were?
I don't think it was evident, and I'm not even sure that was true. I mean, to be honest, I'm not sure where they were located relative to each other, because there's a lot of factors that can go into this. It seems like people were getting lost going to both of the things, because we got that great, like, 70s-style drug trip montage of everybody, like, where are we? I don't know where to go. ¿Dónde está?
And yeah. That was a cliffhanger. That was going to the commercial.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we don't have enough yet of people saying, this is impossible, I can't do this, which is usually where we cut to commercial.
Yeah.
So, honestly, I don't know if that was necessarily true, but it did appear to be true that, you know, after a first false start or two, everybody had a much easier time finding that mariachi in a pool of 300 versus the people that were doing the arts and crafts kit to make the firework pool.
Yeah, I did think it was funny when your guys, the Frisbee Bros, were going through and just like just screaming like, who's fake playing? Who is fake playing?
Well, if that had worked, it would have been genius.
Yeah, so like, all right, you got me. It's me. I am the fake mariachi player. How funny was that when, was it Sherry and Cole went up to a guy with a guitar on the street and yeah, thought that he was some part of the Amazing Race?
Yeah, you know, if that had been the guy that was only pretending to play, you know, what good luck with it that would have been. But I love it when they rope random locals into something. Like, I think it was just two seasons ago in Peru where they roped that. It was just a random clown. It wasn't a clown that had anything to do with the challenge. And they just kind of like, oh, you're a clown. You must be the clown we're looking for.
Yeah, these are not the clowns you're looking for.
Exactly. Move along.
Move along.
So, go about your business.
I really thought that Sherry and Cole were going to be the team that got eliminated. Especially, I thought this was a rough night for our elder racers to begin with between Sherry and Scott. They end up being the last two people in that final roadblock of the night. And it looked like they were going to be the people that cost their teams in this leg of the race. Ultimately, they both end up being safe. But it did look like to me between Sherry seemed very panicky all along the race tonight. And she really felt like that they were going to be eliminated the whole time. I thought that because we saw so much of them, they got so much more airtime than Scott and Blair. I thought they were going to be the team that got eliminated.
Yeah, that would have made a lot of sense. I was thinking the whole time, like, why didn't I lobby to have us give points to the teams that cry?
I
would have been raking it in.
Do we want fantasy points for the teams that cry in future seasons?
I would endorse it because, like, whoever had Brenchel would have kicked butt.
Right, but is that something that we should be awarding points for? If you're getting points for who's going to win the race, like, should you also be getting fantasy points for when they're crying? Like, does that help you?
Well, my twisted logic here, Rob, is that when you're crying, you are providing an authentic, unguarded moment of yourself, as opposed to the people that we are deducting points from, namely the people that are going to thirstily promote themselves, mm-hmm. right?
And so, just to follow your logic, so you're saying that I want to reward things that are for authentic, true moments of their self, as demonstrated by Brenchel.
Yes.
Okay.
It's the Brenchel Memorial Points.
Yes.
Look, I'm grasping at straws, Rob. I need this. You know, you beat me like 48-22. That's what the tabulators were saying. And by the way, we got like 30 people.
Obviously. We've got a lot of people. Awesome. Keep it. That's great. And that's great. We should have one official person, but I love it that we are like keeping it honest out there. And if you don't know what we're talking about, Jessica and I earlier this week did our Amazing Race 28 preview, which you can hear. I think it's probably still pretty relevant. I don't think we were way off the ball on anything in terms of what we talked about in our fantasy draft. You can see that on the website. And so we went through our teams, and instead of just previewing the teams in whatever random order, we did it as a draft. And so Jessica and I both drafted five teams, and Scott and Blair is the one team that is undrafted. And of course, a very nice night for my fantasy team, because we end up with the top four teams all coming in for Team Rob.
Yep. The massive amounts of points.
Yeah.
Rob wins the express pass.
Yeah, it was looking particularly even bleaker for Jess. I felt like your team sort of rallied at the end, where we ended up with Team Clever was trying to talk to, was it Sherry and Cole into taking the penalty? Like that was things were looking very dire for Team Jess at that point.
Yeah, honestly, Rob, I think we got to put a new rule in. We got to take points away from anybody that quits a task.
Yeah.
Like, you should get -5 points for quitting a task, any task, regardless of whether you stay in the race or not.
All right. Well, for our many scorekeepers that are out there, let's put that on the table let's continue to talk all season long about new rules for our fantasy team. Talk to me about
that. Was an oversight.
Talk to me about the Great Bowls of Fire task. You know, it provided ample opportunity for people to say things like, that's bull. We also heard Ashley, I believe it was, talk about she has witnessed a bull being castrated. That's a story.
It's not fun.
No.
I don't think anybody had fun in that scenario.
No, I wouldn't think so. Unless there's some sort of a sadist, but that is something that she experienced. Talk to me about that task. Do you think that on paper that sounds like a difficult task? Because it did seem to be more time consuming than finding the mariachi fake player.
I mean, that might have been my impulse, is to go to that one, just because there's a kit and you put it all together. You have the pieces, you have to assemble them. It's like putting together IKEA furniture, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it did seem, though, that it was the one that took people longer and people were getting frustrated with it. And I'm thinking, you have one right there and you have all the parts. I don't know what seems hard about this, but I wasn't there. Like, we have to ask Josh Wiggler. Maybe he got to put one of those together. I know he did get to do the puzzle. So,
yeah. So we'll find out how difficult it was to take care of all of that. And then, of course, the teams ended up having to go overnight to go to basically like go into some dark cave. I actually like this. I felt like it was very Indiana Jones.
Yeah, it was really impressive, because on paper, you think like you have to dig up puzzle pieces. You have to go through an obstacle course, dig up puzzle pieces, and put them together. Like, that has no cultural relevance to anything except Survivor, right?
Yeah, no, not really.
So how are you going to make that feel like you could only do it there? And I thought they did a great job of that.
Yes, I felt like that it was particularly confusing to be able to figure out what was going on during this task, because I didn't know exactly as a viewer that, okay, there are extra pieces, and then something that, you know, the puzzle you're putting together is either going to be the blue puzzle or the white puzzle. It seemed like the teams were really in the dark as well about that.
Yeah, it seemed like there were so many ways that you could screw this up, and I think they even screwed up a couple of ways that maybe production didn't even think of.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking specifically of Scott dropping all of the pieces on the ground and having to go look for them again.
Well, it seemed like that they didn't even know that they had to put together either the blue puzzle or the white puzzle. It seemed like they didn't know where they had to actually go. I mean, you had people like, was it Scott? And then was it also Sherry that were just completely like lost outside? Like, they were like walking around, like they didn't even know where the masks were to put them together.
Yeah, or follow the drums. Nobody could find the drums. And I'm thinking, if they say follow the drums, I'm going to be listening for the sound of drums, and I might go to where those are.
Yeah. And so it was really bad. You know, it was Scott seemed to be absolutely just totally out of it in terms of like losing his pieces everywhere. Like, how did he drop so many pieces on the ground and not even notice that he was dropping so many?
Yeah, that seemed weird to me. Like, was there a hole in the bottom of whatever he was carrying? He was like leaving them like breadcrumbs.
That's possible. Then he could find his way back to where he was.
Yeah. Yeah. But it seemed like there was like a whole like lawn situation and it was like an Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
So I don't know how he did that.
I don't know how he did it. Maybe he had so many puzzle pieces and he was just carrying them all. He's like, I only need to get back with 13. And then he ended up with just like, it doesn't matter if I lose them along the way. I just need to come back with 13 pieces.
Yeah, maybe he didn't think it mattered which 13.
Yeah. You know, I thought that Scott, and we didn't talk about this in our preview show, he has a pretty interesting background. He said that he is a OBGYN and he's also a lawyer. Jess, how much school do you have to go through to be an OBGYN and a lawyer?
At least a decade.
Like that's a lot of school, right?
I wonder if he did them both at once, because that would have been amazing.
Yeah, well, that would be fantastic if he could do both things at once. Maybe it's just like that, you know, after all that, Scott's like, look, I'm tired.
Yeah,
I don't have time for your puzzle. I went to law school and medical school.
If he passed the LSAT, he should have been able to do that puzzle. I'm just saying.
Yeah. All right. So we ended up with everybody having to go through and find the pieces and figure out ultimately what was going on in the cave. And we had where it was Team Clever, where we had Aaron or Jocelyn was running that leg of the race?
Aaron.
Aaron. And then it seemed like that she had bonded with Sherry and they were talking about taking the penalty there. I mean, were you just totally losing it at that point? Phil even tweeted during the episode like, boy, taking a penalty on the first task, that's pretty extreme.
Yeah, well, Phil's got to lay the law down because he sees what happens if he watched Amazing Race Canada this summer. He saw what happened if you don't put down the law. Everybody thinks they can get away with quitting any task they want because John Montgomery is a pushover.
Yeah, well, what do you mean when you say lay down the law? What are you saying that if Phil is just...
He needs to make people feel bad about quitting.
Quitting a task or the race?
A task.
Okay.
You're supposed to complete those tasks. The penalty is, you know, the penalty is called a penalty for a reason, right?
But we've seen teams take a penalty early on in the race. For you, strategically, on the Amazing Race, when does it make sense for a team to take a penalty?
It only makes sense for you to take a penalty when you are absolutely convinced that the time it would take for you to complete that task exceeds the time that it would take for you to serve the penalty. And also, if there are teams far enough behind you that you're not going to be in any danger.
Yeah. Does it make sense to always be quitting with a second team? So they sort of like felt like they had like 50-50 shot. Like maybe it was like Team Clever was like, boy, Sherry doesn't look like she's that fast. Maybe
that had to be Aaron's rationale.
Like, I think we could beat Sherry in a foot race. Let's just both take the time penalty with them. And it doesn't matter how fast Cole is, we could beat Sherry to the mat.
I think that must be what they were thinking.
Yeah. But then all of a sudden it was it was Aaron.
That was Aaron doing the roadblock, Rob.
She then eventually got it and it was like, all right, later, Sherry.
Yeah. Well, I thought she actually stayed around too long. I thought, you know, she runs up to Sherry and says, can I help you with it? What do you need me to do? And Sherry's like, you're in a race. Maybe you should go run.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, then it came down to, of course, Scott and Blair and Sherry and Cole ending up being the final teams that were there. And it was first Sherry and Cole who got it. They were in 10th. And then Scott and Blair, they were the team that was coming out of it 11th. Boy, Blair in the back of the cab riding to the pit stop with Scott looked like somebody whose dad blew the Amazing Race for them.
Yeah, she did not look like she was having a good time.
She was really just like... I was like really not happy there in the back of the cab with dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would not want to be him right now.
Well, you don't know how it worked out.
Yeah, I guess I don't. Like if they won $1 million, she's probably got over it.
Yeah. Jess, what are some of the other things you observed on this first night of the Amazing Race?
Well, I observed, a lot of people being like ridiculously huge fans of the show.
Yeah.
Like maybe, you know, they make Green Team Justin look like a casual viewer.
A casual yeah. Justin now.
Yeah, exactly. So I think one of my favorite moments was Tyler and Corey when they completed their detour they started singing the music cue that happens when you complete a detour in a triumphant manner.
Yeah.
And this is totally something I would do, but I wouldn't count on anybody else to have done that. So that is, that was adorable, I thought.
Well, let's talk through our Amazing Race teams and sort of just get our first impression, Rose, from who we're talking about in this first night. And so just in order of finish, we had my second round pick in the draft, Dana and Matt. And I thought they didn't get a lot of screen time, but it was a strong night for the dancers.
Yeah, they were solid. They finished their task so fast that they weren't even shown finishing their task. So they just rolled up to the, you know, the overnight point, and I hadn't even seen what actually happened there.
Yeah, and again, they are also big fans of The Amazing Race. So it seemed like it was a strong night for superfans.
Yeah, I mean, superfans are having the best night ever.
Would you say, is that probably fair? If we take a look at the placement of the teams, did the teams who were more familiar with The Amazing Race, did they do better overall? Like, if we take a look at the teams at the bottom, where we have Scott and Blair, Cole and Sherry, also Aaron and Jocelyn, like, are these the teams that we think had the least Amazing Race watching experience coming into this?
No, I don't think so. I think that Sherry and Cole seem like they're pretty big fans. Like Scott and Blair, arguably, they may not have ever seen the show. Aaron and Jocelyn, I feel like they have said they're good. They're huge fans of the show. Marty and Hagen are definitely fans.
Yes, that's true.
So I would say, I think that being a fan of the show has about as much bearing on how you finish as it does every season, which is to say almost none. Like, yeah, it can help you in a couple of specific situations, and we've certainly seen super fans win, but we have a lot of super fans this season. We have a lot every season, and it's going to be a mixed bag.
I do feel like coming out of the gate, though, I think that it has to be somewhat of an edge in just in terms of like, wait, what are we doing? What are we going to? Okay, this is a roadblock. Who has to do this? Like, I feel like just like in knowing the rules and like understanding them quickly, I feel like that it has to be a bit of an edge. Maybe the numbers don't bear it out, but I feel like that just having that experience has to be useful.
I guess we'll have to see, but I get the feeling that there were people that loved the show and did well. There are people that love the show and did poorly. There are people that hate the show, or, you know, nobody goes on the show if they hate it, but people that are less familiar with the show that did well, and people that are less familiar with the show that did poorly. I don't think there's going to be any correlation.
Okay. Second place was my first round draft pick of Tyler and Corey. And again, they really did a great job tonight. Got out of the gate fast, never really were in any sort of trouble, and a very strong second place finish. They were right there, foot race to the mat with Dana and Matt, and great night for the Tyler and Corey. And I feel like that we would say that this would be the super fan team if this was a regular season of The Amazing Race.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I'm deeply regretting that I didn't pick them first, because
you had the first pick, Jess. It was right there in front of you.
Look, Frisbee guys did okay, but Tyler and Corey, I liked them. They were the team I wanted to win before we drafted them for our teams.
Yep.
And that has borne out. I still want them to win, and I feel like I should not be rooting for the gimmickiest team with the most famous people on it, but here we are. They are the most charming.
Yeah. Look, hey, you get famous for a reason, Jess. It's not an accident.
Well, it's not always an accident, I guess.
Okay. So strong night for Tyler and Corey. Third place was Zach and Rachel, also part of Team Rob. They struggled a little bit getting out of the gate with the mariachi task, but they certainly seemed to find their footing by the time they got into the cave. What was your take on Zach and Rachel on night one?
I mean, they were pretty, I mean, they raced okay, I guess. I got about I've got as much to say about them as I did in our previous show. They're not particularly interesting.
How dare you?
Like, I'm waiting for them to surprise me, but the one thing that did surprise me was Zach saying that Rachel was the first girl he ever kissed.
Yeah.
Which I guess is kind of sweet, but I hope it wasn't like when he was 24.
Hey, there would be nothing wrong with that if that was the case, Jess.
I guess.
Let's talk about then, it's Valentine's Day weekend. I thought you were romantic.
I don't know anymore, Rob.
All right. Fourth place was Cameron and Darius again. Not a ton of airtime for Cameron and Darius, who were the fourth round pick of Team Rob.
Yeah, but, you know, they still beat every one of mine.
Yeah, they had a strong showing in the second half of the episode. They were certainly struggling that they were in that last group that got to the cave early on in the episode. They really struggled. It was them and the Instagram models were like the last ones to show up at the bowl making task.
Yeah, that I wonder what happened to them. I mean, I guess it has to just be cab luck at this point, but they made up time.
The Amazing Race seemed as though, and tell me if you think that you're reading anything into this, the spacing out of the teams starting the task, it really seemed like that was a bit of a reset in terms of no matter how late you were to that cave or to where it was going to be, it was overnight, and then four teams were going to start at 7:30, then teams were going to start at 7:40 and 7:50. If you were starting at 7:50, it was really not that big of a penalty to start only 20 minutes behind the teams that got there, maybe an hour or two or even three before you from the night before.
Yeah, I suppose. But I've always liked the idea of having like staggered departure times in the next morning because it bunches everybody together, but it still doesn't totally screw someone that hustled hard and got there first. They still get a little bit of a time jump. And yeah, if you're really good at puzzles, you're probably going to be able to jump ahead of some of the people that left 10 minutes before you.
Okay. The first of your teams on Team Jess to check in were the Frisbee Bros, Kurt and Brody. What was your take on Frisbee guys?
They were solid. They showed me why I picked them.
Jess, hold on a second. Did you select the Frisbee guys because the winner of the first Amazing Race was Rob Frisbee with Brendan? Was that why you saw it?
I that must be it, Rob. I must have unconsciously done that.
Rob Frisbee guys. And you know what? Rearrange the letters in bro, and that's Rob. Rob Frisbee bro is an anagram for Rob Frisbee.
Oh my God, you're blowing my mind. This is worse than the cursed photo of Survivor 32.
Yeah. All right. Well, so that they were, I mentioned in the mariachi that they were very funny. They end up putting the mask together. They come in team five. Rooster Teeth. I'm sorry. No, Rooster Teeth, I believe, was five, and Brody and Kurt were six. Rooster Teeth was also one of your teams. What was your take on Rooster Teeth through night one?
We didn't see a lot of Rooster Teeth. They had one very funny moment while they were putting together the bowl where Ashley looks up at Bernie and says, "I love you." And he replies, "I like you."
Yeah.
And he's like, "What? I like you a lot." I thought that was funny, but that was about all I remember of seeing them. They were barely in this episode.
Yeah. The teams that at the top didn't really dominate in the airtime. It was more the team, I guess, predictably, the teams at the back always get more airtime on the Amazing Race.
Rob, if you're crying, you're going to get a lot of airtime.
Yes. Okay. So I'm being updated that Alex says that I had it right the first time. Rooster Teeth was sixth.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then we had the Instagram models checked in at seven. They struggled early on in the race. And then again, a lot of jokes about like eating disorders from the Instagram models.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit.
Very self-referential.
I guess. Like, yeah. I don't really have any comment. Like, eating disorders are bad.
They
are. I don't want to condone that behavior.
Yes. All right. But they are also part of Team Rob. So they came in seventh tonight. We had Marty and Hagen, stalwarts of Team Jess. They had a night that not a ton of airtime for Marty and Hagen.
Yeah, but everybody was saying Marty and Hagen were going to be the first out, and they are still in it. So
Who's everybody?
Like, we had a bunch of people in the comments, like everybody that wasn't putting me on blast for choosing Aaron and Jocelyn was putting me on blast for choosing Marty and Hagen.
Can people leave Jess alone in the comments?
People can't leave Jess alone in the comments. It's part of my job to be criticized for my Amazing Race shortcomings. You know this, Rob. This is why you give me a promotion every season.
Right. Yeah, because we set you up to be the expert, and then if you ever get anything wrong, like, oh, yeah. Some expert. Like, if I get something wrong, like, what does Rob even know? He doesn't even know anything about the Amazing Race. So, right.
Yeah.
So they expect me to get stuff wrong.
I have allegedly watched this show for much longer than you have, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think I started watching right around the same time that you did.
Yeah, then you stop for a while.
Okay, that's, hey, look, we talked about when we're starting. We're not talking about the middle. It's how you finish. It doesn't, okay. Like, just like the Amazing Race, you could be like a Beekman Boys, and it doesn't matter what you're doing in the middle, as long as you end up in the right spot.
Oh, trust me, Rob, I am holding tight to that belief after the way that you totally spanked my team this week.
All right. Team 9 was Aaron and Jocelyn. We talked about them in the cave. What was your take on the Clever Girls overall?
I thought Clever they were, women. You know, they were funny. They were trying a little too hard. They had a little bit of the Afghanimal about them.
The Afghanimal about them. Oh, my God.
They're like Lady Afghanimal.
Lady Afghanimal. They're Afghanim gals?
Afghana gals, yeah.
Okay.
They tended to have a lot of lines saved up in their head. They're like Corinne with her binder.
Oh, they came in. They're doing material. We don't like that. We don't like doing
they
lines.
Need to settle down and stop doing material, and then they'll be okay.
Okay.
And I was not terribly impressed with their performance on the roadblock, but you know they did okay in the first half.
Yeah. Actually, I'm sorry that Randy is updating me in the chat room. So 9, that, you know, I'm going by what the order that they left. So technically,
yeah.
Sherry and Cole were 9 and Clever was 10.
Yeah, Sherry and Cole made up some time.
Let's talk a bit about Sherry and Cole. We've talked a little bit about Sherry that I'm reading in the chat room. And again, it's a small sample size in the chat room, but I'm not seeing a lot of positive love for Cole after one episode from the chat room.
I think you're mostly seeing Humberto. He had a very strong reaction to Cole.
Why? Why was Humby so anti-Cole?
Humby is very anti-Cole. And
why?
I mean, I didn't love Cole. Like, I thought both of them were a little bit too high-strung and emotional to really win my heart. And I've heard somebody referred to them as bad mother boy.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, yeah, maybe... maybe a mother-son team from Alabama is going to have a lot to live up to.
Yeah. So we'll see. I didn't think that Cole seemed high-strung. I thought that he was just like...
Well, he was crying a lot for someone who was getting to go on The Amazing Race. I'm like, you know what? You're not sending your family to the gulag. You're going on a race around the world. How about you suck it up?
And yeah. Well, hey, once they met those Instagram models at the airport, then everything was fine.
Brightened right up, yeah.
Yeah. They had a good line when they talked about being, are we cougars?
Yeah, that was pretty great. And Sherry, she reminds me a bit of Victoria Jackson.
Oh.
So that's my impression of Sherry out of the gate.
Okay. And then the team that was bringing up the rear tonight was Scott and Blair. I felt like more airtime tonight for Scott, not a lot for Blair, I felt like. What's your takeaway on Scott and Blair? Can they rebound from the last place finish?
Well, I think anybody can rebound from the last place.
Well, do you think it's likely?
I don't think it's likely.
Yeah.
Honestly, they showed me tonight that, like, I don't know what the instructions on that roadblock were. Like, I don't have them here. I can't read them. But it sure seemed to me like Scott didn't read all of them. And you would think that someone with a law degree and a medical degree would know to read everything.
Well, what do you think is the issue there for Scott and Blair? Why did they struggle? Was it just because that Scott had a hard time on the roadblock? Or do you see any sort of issues there which could be rearing their ugly head in the future?
They seem like they're very, very different people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they both have something of the entrepreneur about them, but I really felt like they seemed like they had such clashing personalities. They're kind of a mismatch in the team department. And Scott spent 40 minutes looking for puzzle pieces on that front lawn.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't bode well.
No, not so great. All right. Just so tonight we didn't see a prize for first place. We didn't see an express pass given away. Did that strike you as odd as they didn't give anything to the team that came in first on the first leg of the Amazing Race?
It might be due to it being some kind of, you know, maybe that's a non-elimination thing, but you usually do give prizes for non-elimination legs. So I don't know if that's it. It has been a long time since we've seen somebody not win anything on a leg.
I feel like, though, even since Amazing Race, was it 22? I feel like that every season of The Amazing Race, they're doing something on that first leg where it's like, if you come in first in the first leg of The Amazing Race, you get an express pass and you get to give away an express pass, or you get double or nothing. It feels like that that's been something that sort of, like, I thought now was the standard on The Amazing Race. So there's a big prize for winning the first leg.
Yeah, you would think so. But maybe there was a prize and it just didn't have any, you know, portions of the competition not affecting the outcome have been edited for time.
So you think it was like some sponsor and then they ended up like going out of business or something since then? Well, and they
in early seasons, you used to get a prize on every leg, but they weren't all sponsored. So it'd just be like, you guys won a pair of jet skis, but they weren't sponsored by the jet ski company. It's just like, yeah, here, you guys get a couple of bicycles. And it could be one of those things, you guys get $5,000, and they don't necessarily have to be sponsored by anybody. So if the sponsor is getting some good time otherwise, they can cut that out.
Okay. And then also we have our team that's coming in last place. Jess, are we to assume that there will be a speed bump, that Scott and Blair will have to compete in the next leg of the race?
Scott and Blair seem to think so. So yeah, I would say that's probably a safe bet.
Okay. Jess, we also got a super tease for the season. As an Amazing Race purist, how do you feel about a super tease after the first episode? I know a couple seasons ago in San Juan del Sur, Survivor fans were in an uproar about the super tease that we saw at the end of episode one. Did it bother you at all to have that tease at the end of the episode?
I feel like the super tease comes out when there's not going to be a lot interesting happening in the next episode. So that kind of bums me out.
We'll see. We'll see what happens next week on The Amazing Race. Do you expect them to stay in Mexico? Do you think we'll be doing the same sort of format that we've done the last couple seasons where we do two legs in one place?
I don't think that's going to happen. I think Wiggler actually spoiled this for us. I think he points out where they're going next.
Okay. So. Do people get upset about the location spoiler? That doesn't bother me, but I don't know. I don't want to upset anybody.
I don't get upset about location spoilers. If somebody like comes in and posts a boot list, then I get upset.
Yeah. By the way, we mentioned some of the stuff that Josh has done. You could check out on parade.com where Josh Wiggler has been posting his stuff. Our buddy Josh Wiggler was out there on location and was there. He did a write-up of what Phil was doing. He has interviews where he was, he got to speak to the teams when he was there. So all good stuff. Check that out. Go to parade.com and you can see everything that Josh has worked on. Jess, are you ready to talk some questions from tonight?
Yes, please.
All right. Of course, we have questions coming in with our hashtag RHAP on Twitter. And then again, on our YouTube channel at robisawebsite.com/YouTube. Why don't we start off from Randy? Randy wants to know, what are your thoughts about teams with pre-existing relationships with each other across teams? Is that an unfair advantage? Now, this is obviously a very different season of the show. In some way, it's almost like an all-star season where teams are aware of other teams from either working with them directly, collaborations, or a team that's like, okay, I follow you on Twitter. I'm aware of your work, that maybe you could help me down the road. Jess, does that bother you at all about this season, or is it something that you like about this season?
Well, it's an interesting new angle, but I don't think it's going to necessarily affect things that much. Like, these aren't people, it's not like we have Joey on one team and Megan on the other team. You know, these people know each other because they do kind of the same things, but we've also had plenty of people that know of each other when they come in the race. Like, someone who's been on Big Brother, for example, everybody knows who those people are. Everybody knew who Kate Upton was, you know.
Kate Upton?
Yeah.
She's an Instagram model, right? Huge Instagram model.
Is that her name? What's her name? The Miss Teen South Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm throwing you off with my dumb jokes, Jess. I apologize.
Yeah. That wasn't even funny. Now I feel like I'm wrong, and now I feel like I have to look it up, and now I'm...
Yeah.
I don't remember what I was going to say.
All right. Well, Jess... What's the parallel? Do you feel like is it almost like an all-star season where there's some teams that are like, oh, like this team was really popular, or is it more along the lines of, oh, okay, well, Brendan and Rachel are on this season. We all know who Brendan and Rachel are, and for whatever reason, we either like or don't like Brendan and Rachel because of we've seen them on TV before.
You know, it goes both ways. Like, sometimes people want to work with them, and sometimes people don't. Like, remember way back in season 7.
Of course.
When Rob and Amber were on.
Yes.
There was a kid on that show that immediately was like, I hate Rob and Amber. I'm going to do everything I can to get rid of them.
Good luck.
And, yeah, didn't work.
Yeah, doesn't work. All right. This is from Anthony S., who says, is it just me or does Ashley look like Laura from Blind Date Amazing Race? What do you think about that?
Well, they're both blonde, I guess.
I guess so. Sure. Why not?
Why not?
Let's go with that. Okay. This is from Spicy Wasabi. Says, which team will be emailing their exit interview this season? I don't think that we have any reason to believe. I was getting a little nervous today that I didn't hear anything about exit interview. And I said, I don't know, last season we had Team TMZ. They didn't end up doing any exit press because they sort of like were bad sports. And I'm like, well, maybe does the team that gets eliminated tonight say, hey, you know what? We're not talking about our experience. We don't care about the Amazing Race fans. We don't want to do any interviews like we had last season with the first team off. But it turned out to be non-elimination. And that is a very logical explanation as why we didn't hear anything about when Amazing Race exit press will be.
Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense to me. You know, I think we're pretty small potatoes in the grand scheme of social media mogulhood, Rob. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe you less so than me, but these people are not going to be hanging on our every word. And that's a little bit freeing, but yeah. It's also a little disappointing because we had some great relationships with teams from last season. And I thought that made the season a little more fun.
It really could go either way because sort of like the precedent that we have is Joey and Megan who were on the Amazing Race. And I feel like that with Joey and Megan, I don't know if they ever watched any of the recaps that we did, but I kind of got the feeling that when I did my exit interview with them, they seemed like rather passive aggressive, almost like somebody like maybe they had heard secondhand. So you get the kind of thing where sometimes we say things that end up getting reported to people. And,
well, that's what happened in season 25 as well. So.
Right. Where it's like, oh, I heard, a person who's watching us could misreport or misrepresent something that we say to somebody who's on the show. And then we get ends up making for an awkward interview. So you never know how things are going to go in the telephone exit interview game.
Yeah, who knows? Like, or even if we say something that's slightly critical of a team that somebody really, really loves.
Right.
So, yeah.
You would imagine that the social media people have heard far worse from their own social media. God knows I have. God knows you have, Jess. That you would think.
I have 3,000 Twitter followers. Someone with 3 million Twitter followers. Probably it probably just never stops.
Yeah, they've probably heard much worse than anybody who's criticizing Jess about the Amazing Race.
That's very true.
Yeah. Probably heard even worse than things I've heard on my social media.
Yeah. And I'm sure you hear some pretty bad stuff, Rob.
No, I've heard it all. I've heard it all, Jess. Let's go from Ashley Bydazzle, who says, is it possible going on the show was a bad decision for Cole? Could this result in him losing followers? I can't see, you know, if somebody's following Cole, they're following him because they love him for what the content that he creates. I can't imagine that somebody who loves Cole or already follows Cole says that there's anything that he could do on The Amazing Race that he would lose those people. Or if he did, could it be more than 100 people that would feel that way? I mean, doesn't that seem like a very unlikely thing that would happen?
There's no such thing as bad publicity, Rob. You have to do something really heinous for people to stop following you. If anything, you do something super heinous on national television, more people are going to follow.
Right. It's a Kardashian world. There is no bad publicity. Whatever you do, you have an album you want to promote. You want to look for bad publicity. You want to get people talking about you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody has represented themselves so badly that someone would totally ditch them.
Yeah. Nor do we have any reason to believe that they would. Like nothing has happened negative so far.
Yeah. Like, I think if you're that much, I think you have to be really boring for people to unfriend you. And if people continue being their scintillating selves on the social media, then, you know, nobody's going to drop them.
Do you think that Dr. Scott has lost any Twitter followers tonight?
He may have, but it might just be because he might have forgotten how to log in.
Were they giving, like, his Twitter out and stuff like that? Like, the people who were sort of, like, the people... Like, you have some teams where both people are sort of like, you know, social media presences. And then there's other teams where it's like, okay, you know, Blair has a big following, but Scott doesn't. Are they also giving out like Scott's Twitter handle that we talked about? He has like 700 Twitter followers.
Yeah, I want to say they are. Like, everybody has a Twitter handle and it would just be weird to show one person's, but not the other.
That's funny. It's very interesting to see. Okay. Yeah. Let's keep going. Matthew has a question. Who from Amazing Race 28 should appear on The Price is Right later this year? Jess, this was a big news item that came across the wire today. So, of course, The Price is Right, which is one of the longtime institutions on CBS, is going to be doing some nighttime primetime editions, I guess, where they're going to be having cast members from Big Brother, Survivor, and The Amazing Race coming up later on this season. Jess, what do you think about an Amazing Race Price is Right edition? Do we should we assume that they're all going to be from the social media season?
I don't know if we can assume anything, but I would say if I had to pick one of the teams just based on tonight that I would be thinking would be asked to go on The Price is Right, I'd probably say it would be Tyler and Corey.
I mean, I think that if you're CBS, that seems like the win, right? More so.
They basically built a whole season around the idea of getting these guys on The Race. They're going to milk this for all it's worth.
Right. I think feel like that seems like that's probably a team that you want to have more so than, you know, Team Chack Attack playing Plinko.
Hey, you're the one that loves Team Chack
Attack. Hey, I'd be there either way.
I know you would. But, you know, honestly, this is going to pale in comparison to the time they had Snoop Dogg on The Price is Right. He played alongside all the contestants and he turned out to have these like savant like abilities at The Price is Right.
Yeah. So we'll see. Boy, I hope that, you know, Scott will fare better on The Price is Right and doesn't like, you know, drop the Plinko chips or anything like that.
His mountain climber guy is going to go right off the edge.
Right off the edge. But no, that's going to be very exciting. Looking forward to that. And we could do a whole podcast about who we think would be the best people from Survivor, from Big Brother, from The Amazing Race. So that's going to be very, very fun to see how they do that. And I'm sure in all of the Survivor, Big Brother and Amazing Race circles that I run in, many hurt feelings to follow in the next couple months about who gets to play on The Price is Right.
Oh, so many. I hope you're going to cover this.
Oh, of course. Jess, we'll be doing podcasts of like, all right. All right, Steven. So when Spencer bid $2 after you bid $1, how did you feel about that? Did that make you mad when he did that? Because that was, you guys were friends, right? So that'll be, it'll be very exciting.
Yeah, that would be super exciting.
Yeah, when we get like Russell Hance down in contestants row that talking about how the check game is flawed. Sure.
Well,
it doesn't even make sense. The rules are so complicated. Why would you have a game like that? No, it'll be great, Jess.
You have to know how to read and write.
Right. It'll be fantastic. Can't wait. Yeah. All right. This is from Keanu Andico. How does this premiere rank amongst all other seasons? Top half, bottom half, middle. All right. So we had exciting tasks, non-elimination leg. We had a new way to start. We had teams with some star power. Jess, overall, what's your ranking on this? Not that you have premiere rankings at your disposal, but ballpark.
You know how long it took me to rank the seasons, Rob?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say I think it's a top half premiere. But not far above the midway point.
Okay.
Because honestly, that beginning segment where they all like, they showed the, you know, 11 doors opening and closing in tandem. And that was just unnecessary. But the tasks were good. The destination's fantastic. Like they have not spent a great deal of time in Mexico in the past. So that was nice to see as well.
Off the top of your head, what's the worst premiere of The Amazing Race?
Worst premiere of The Amazing Race might be the one where they left a team at the starting line.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a couple more questions. This is from Tony's Llama, who says, thoughts on the new intro? What'd you think of that?
An intro is an intro.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything for you?
Yeah, I'm not one of those people that like ranks the intros.
You're not?
Not really, no.
All right, Bill Jenkins wants to know, isn't there usually an adrenaline junkie task like skydiving or ziplining? Why isn't there haven't been many recently?
Well, there's a couple every season. They're saving them up.
Yeah. Okay. One last question, Jess. This is from Kerwin McKenzie. Says, bummer that the Star Alliance got snubbed on Amazing Race tonight with flights from the U.S. to Mexico City. What is this? Is this product placement? How did that get in there?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I didn't realize the Star Alliance had anything at stake.
Yeah, what is that?
Star Alliance's life is fine.
Star Alliance trying to get an RHAP bump. Getting
yeah,
your
you got
questions
to
in
those Star Alliance.
Do that's a first, I think. All right, Jess, I'm also I got some a blind item coming in across my desk. Sources are reporting to me there was a prize for this Leg of the Amazing Race. It was cash, and it's unclear why it wasn't shown. The blind how do you like that?
Yeah, this prize is brought to you by the U.S. Department of the Treasury.
All right, wait, maybe one more question comes in. Okay, was the prize the right to live tweet during the next leg? That's from Anthony. No, it was not.
Oh, dear God.
Are you surprised that we didn't have as much interaction? I guess that the Amazing Race Twitter account was retweeting a lot of stuff.
Amazing Race Twitter account was working overtime. Yeah. They got like 6 interns on that thing, and Phil is just like, give me an intern just for me.
Yeah. Okay. So was it too much? Were you inundated with tweets?
I had a lot more notifications than I usually do. Like, it got a little out of control.
Okay. That's a lot. It's a lot to handle. It's an immersive experience, the Amazing Race this season.
It is. By the end of it, it will make social media moguls of us all.
Yeah. This is not, you know, Scott and Sherry's, Amazing Race.
Clearly not.
Yeah. All right, Jess. So, we've got so much to get into. Can't wait to get back into it next Friday. Of course, no exit interview this week because nobody was eliminated. But we're going to have hopefully many to come along the way. Of course, big week coming up on the podcast as Survivor is also premiering. Survivor Co Wrong season 32 is kicking off this Wednesday night. Survivor Know-It-Alls will be back, and maybe we will talk with Stephen Fishback about his chances to be playing Hole in One or Two sometime soon. That will be kicking off at 9:45 p.m. Eastern time. And then big Survivor recap. Jeff Varner will be our guest. We'll be doing voicemails with Bryce Isaiah. Angie Kontz, we're going to drop her preseason preview of Survivor character type. So huge week to come on RHAP. And then a huge week is also wrapping up. Do you happen to check out Corinne and her binder?
Oh, Corinne and her binder. Like, I sit up waiting for that podcast to drop.
Not for the faint of heart, but that also came out this week. On the podcast, we did a long interview with Tasha Fox as well. So really, what off season for Survivor. We did many, many hours of podcasting this past week and many more to come next week. All right, Jess, this was very fun. I feel like we haven't missed a beat. Only episode one here of Amazing Race 28.
Yeah, there's so much more to come. This is but the tip of the iceberg.
Yes, that's right. Also, Jess and I did our preview on the Amazing Race this week. And also, if you haven't checked out Jess, Mike Bloom, and Dan Heaton, they did a ranking of all of the Amazing Race seasons. You can catch that on our other reality TV podcast network, Reality TV Rehap Ups, which are podcasts about reality TV that do not have Rob. That is where Rob does not have a podcast. So those are other people that are friends of RHAP podcasting. Go to robisawebsite.com/rehapups.
Rob, do you have a hashtag?
Yeah. The only thing I wrote down was the Afghani gals, and that is a weak ass hashtag.
I liked Bad Mother Boy.
Bad Mother Boy? No, I don't want to promote Bad Mother Boy.
I don't want Cole and Sherry's fans coming down on my head.
No. What do you got?
I think Afghana gals is fine with me.
All right. Afghana gals. That's a real stretch, but it's the best that we've got for tonight so that we're live. And that's what we're going to go with. All right. So, Jessica, great job. I'm going to promote you again.
Yes.
What's left? What rarefied air is left for you to go to?
I don't know. Like, I might just retire.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jess, fantastic job once again. Great job by the live feeders, live commenters as well, and everybody on Twitter. Should be a very fun season of The Amazing Race. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, making all the trains run on time, or at least as close to on time as we get with this show. And thanks to everybody. Looking forward to a fun season of The Amazing Race. Talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody.